Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going deep on a vinyl heat style pad shape breakdown in Ableton Live 12, built for dungle, old school DNB, and darker roller energy, but designed to stay light on CPU and to actually work in a real arrangement. So the vibe here is not let's make a pretty synth pad and drown the track in reverb. No. We're making a dusty, sample-based pad that feels like it came off a worn dubplate, but still leaves room for the break, the snare crack, and the sub. That balance is the whole game. The big idea is this. In drum and bass, the pad is not just background. It's part of the drop psychology. It tells the listener where they are emotionally before the drums and bass hit. A good pad can make an intro feel cinematic, a breakdown feel real, and a drop feel way harder because the space disappears. A bad pad just turns the mix to soup. We're going to use Ableton stock devices only, and we're going to build from a sampled source first. That's important. You're not trying to fake vinyl character with a bunch of random effects stacked on top. You want a sample that already has some personality, then you shape it into something playable and useful. Start with the right source. This could be a chord stab, a Rhodes hit, a string phrase, a soul fragment, a filtered sample, anything that already has harmonic information and some grime. For jungle and old school vibes, the best source is usually short and imperfect. A little noise, a little instability, a little mid-range attitude, that's the gold. Load the sample into Simpler or Sampler. If you want the most CPU-friendly workflow, Simpler is usually the best place to start. Set it to classic mode if you want that sampler-like behavior, and unless you have a special reason, keep warp off inside the device. You want the sample to behave naturally, not get overprocessed by time stretching before you've even shaped it. Now trim the sample for character, not perfection. Find the most interesting harmonic section. Cut dead air, but don't be afraid to leave a tiny bit of tail if it gives the sound some dusty realism. If there's a strong transient, that's fine. We'll soften it. Then think about pitch. Dropping the sample a few semitones, maybe -3 to -7, can immediately push it into darker jungle territory. If the source needs a more eerie shimmer, you can go up a little, but in this style, lower usually wins. Now turn that sample into a pad. This is where Simpler or Sampler becomes your shape tool. You want a sustained bed, not a one-shot hit. So set your envelope to breathe. A good starting point is a slightly slow attack, maybe 20 to 80 milliseconds, so the pad doesn't hit too sharply. Then give it a long decay or a long sustain depending on the source, and a release somewhere between a few hundred milliseconds and a couple seconds so the notes fade naturally. If the sample still feels too stabby, just lengthen the attack and let the filter do more of the softening. If you're using Sampler, you can get a little more precise. Looping can work really well, but only if the loop is smooth. Keep the loop simple, and use tiny fades at the edges so you don't get clicks. Don't overcomplicate the loop point. You want a stable harmonic section that can sit under the track without drawing attention to itself. Here's a very useful advanced move. Duplicate the sample onto a second Simpler and tune it slightly differently. Keep one layer as the main body, and let the second layer be quietly filtered for extra air or density. That gives you more richness without piling on CPU-heavy processing. Now comes the core of the vinyl heat feeling. Filtering and movement. Put auto filter after the sampler. Start with a low pass 24 dB filter. Roll off the top until the sound feels warm, dusty, and a little hidden. Your cutoff might be anywhere from a few hundred hertz to a couple kilohertz depending on the sample, but the exact number matters less than the emotional result. You want the filter to feel alive, not static, so add subtle movement. That could mean automation over 8 or 16 bars, or a very gentle internal modulation if the source needs it. But keep it shallow. We're not doing wobble for the sake of wobble. We're doing movement that feels like a record beating pushed through old hardware. A really useful arrangement trick is to automate the cutoff as the section evolves. For an intro, keep it dark and low, maybe around 300 to 700 Hz. Then open it up in the breakdown to somewhere around 1.5 to 4 kHz. Then close it back down before the drop to restore tension. That simple move can make the whole section feel like it's breathing with the track. Now add some instability, but keep it under control. You want drift, not seasickness. A tiny bit of chorus ensemble can help soften the source and make it feel worn. A very subtle frequency shifter can add that slightly unstable edge. Vinyl distortion can also work, but keep it gentle. The goal is to suggest record wear, not turn the pad into a destroyed FX sound. If the bass line is going to be harmonically important, especially in a darker Reese-driven tune, keep the pad's note choice simple. This is where a lot of people overdo it. They build a massive chord stack, and then suddenly the bass stops speaking. Use root plus minor third, maybe root plus fifth, or even just two note diads. Let the sample's own harmonics fill in the rest. Now clean up the low end. This part is non-negotiable in DNB. Put EQ 8 after the texture chain and high pass aggressively enough that the pad doesn't steal weight from the kick, snare, and sub. Depending on the arrangement, that might mean anywhere from 120 to 250 Hz. If the pad is muddy, cut some low mids around 250 to 500 Hz. If it sounds boxy, look around 700 Hz to 1.2 kHz. If it has harsh vinyl fizz, tame the 3 to 6 kHz area gently. This is where utility can help too. If the low mids are too wide, narrow the pad a bit. Keep the bottom end essentially mono or removed entirely. The rule in DNB is simple. Wide highs, controlled mids, no sub drama from the pad. If you want a little extra warmth before the EQ, try saturator very gently. Just a little drive, soft clip on, and keep it subtle. That can add harmonics that help the pad survive on smaller systems. And often, a tiny bit of saturation before filtering actually sounds more like hardware than trying to fake grit after the fact. Next, give the pad a rhythm. A lot of the best jungle pads don't just sit there forever. They breathe with the beat. They duck. They pulse. They answer the break. That's what makes them feel like part of the arrangement instead of a floating layer. You can do that with auto pan set to phase zero for a tremolo style pulse, or with a gate if you want a chopped sampler feel. You can also just use MIDI note lengths and volume automation. Sometimes that's the cleanest solution. A pad that comes in on the offbeat, or swells every other bar, can instantly feel more like classic jungle arrangement. A really nice pattern is to let the pad sit under the intro, then open up during the breakdown, then pull it away again before the drop. That contrast is what makes the drop land. Don't keep the pad in the same state the whole time. Make it evolve. Now let's talk CPU, because that matters a lot in real sessions. Once the sound is there, commit to audio. Freeze the track if you want to keep flexibility, or flatten it if you're confident. You can also resample the pad onto a new audio track. This is one of the best habits in Ableton for heavier genres, because it frees up resources for your drums, bass modulation, and effects automation. After printing, clean the audio, trim the start, fade the end, maybe reverse a copy for a transition, and consolidate your best swells into arrangement-ready clips. This is where the workflow becomes fast. You stop tweaking a chain forever and start arranging with real audio. And that brings us to placement. In a proper DNB track, the pad has a job. It might be the emotional bed in the intro. It might be transition glue. It might be a rhythmic ghost behind the drums. Decide that before you keep adding devices. For an intro, keep it filtered and narrow enough that the break remains the main event. In a breakdown, let it bloom and open up right before the drop. Narrow it again. Close the filter a touch, maybe even remove it entirely for one or two bars. That absence can hit harder than another effect layer. If you want to go a step further, sidechain the pad lightly to the kick or a ghost trigger. Not too much, just enough to let the drums breathe. 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction is often enough. If the track is more jungle and less modern pump, you can even skip compression and use automation instead. Now let's finish with polish. Check the pad in mono. That's important. If it disappears in mono, it's too dependent on width. Reduce the stereo spread if needed and keep the low mids tighter. You want the atmosphere to survive, not collapse. And for transition detail, use the pad itself. A reversed print before a snare fill, a filtered swell into the drop, a quick ghost chord before switch up. Those little moves do a lot more than piling on random effects. In jungle and old school DNB, the tension is often in the edit itself. Here's the mindset I want you to keep. Think in layers of function, not just tone. Ask, is this pad the emotional bed, the transition glue, or the rhythmic ghost? That answer will tell you how wide it should be, how bright it should be, how much movement it needs, and how much CPU you should spend on it. If the pad feels too clean, dirty the source before the filter. If it feels too thick, strip more low mids. If it feels too static, automate the cutoff or print a reverse layer. And if it sounds amazing solo but disappears with the drums and bass, that means it's not done yet. Always test it in context. A really good practice exercise here is to make three versions from the same sample. One intro pad that's dark and narrow, one breakdown pad that opens up and feels emotional, and one drop shadow that's almost inaudible, just enough to leave a memory behind the bass and drums. Then arrange them against a full breakbeat and bassline, and see which one actually supports the record best. That's the key takeaway from this lesson. The best jungle and DNB pads are not the biggest ones. They're the most useful ones. Warm, unstable, restrained, and arranged with purpose. Enough texture to create mood. Never so much that they steal the drop. Alright, now it's your turn. Grab one dusty sample. Build the pad shape. Clean the lows. Automate the movement. Print it to audio and place it in the arrangement like it belongs there. That's how you get that final heat feeling without melting your CPU.